this special extended podcast for the complete service for Sunday the 28th of June. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship. I hope you've all had a relatively good day with the changeable weather. We're going to just follow through our service sheet. You should have downloaded this from our website. The link is in the comments section. You can go there and you may want to print it out if you've got that capability, or just have it open in a separate window or tab, whatever. We'll be jumping back and forth from that, so do have that ready for the liturgy and the words, although the song words will also be on the screen, as well as in one particular song, Actions, done by Yours Truly. I hope that's helpful. We don't need any other resources today. There will be some activities for the kids to do, but I'm hoping that part of the activity is to go and find some stuff, so more about that a little later. Today is the 28th of June, which obviously you all know that tomorrow is St. Peter's Day, the patronal feast of our church. And so we will be sort of commemorating and remembering him through our Eucharistic prayer at the beginning and near the end of our service, which we'll sandwich the rest of the service into. So I hope that's helpful. I will, at the notices, give some updates on where we're up to in terms of reopening for worship, but the many of you will know that the government announced that churches can resume public worship, but it will not be as we have known it in the past. It'll be slightly different and slightly restricted as they ease it in gently. And we as a church have not yet decided whether we'll be doing that or not. It's currently with the PCC for their deliberations, and a decision will be made in the coming weeks. So there will be more updates at the end of the service, but just to put your mind at rest, that's what's going to happen. Even if we do resume public worship, we will have an online presence still. So for those of you who are feeling very uncomfortable about potentially coming back for public worship, do not worry, we're not going to leave you high and dry without worship. We will be providing still this morning service online. It just won't be live, it will be pre-recorded, but hopefully will be just as useful for you to connect with God and with one another. Let's begin with this liturgy, which Simon, our lay reader, chose near the beginning of lockdown and has become a bit of a lockdown liturgy. So we're going to begin with this awareness of God's presence, recognising it amongst us. So turning to our service sheets, if we've got them. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognise his presence with us. Let's just keep quiet for a moment, reflecting on our week. Just being aware that God invites us, calls us, welcomes us into his presence to spend this time, this hour or so with him in his peaceful presence. As God's people, we have gathered. Let us worship him together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and good that we should give you thanks and praise and glory, almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For after his resurrection, he sent out his apostles and evangelists to preach the gospel to all nations and lead us in the way of truth. Himself, the chief cornerstone, he founded his church upon the apostles, firmly to stand forever as a sign of your holiness upon earth and a living witness to all of the way that leads to heaven. And so, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we lift our voices and join in their unending hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So let's continue to worship together. The song words will be on the screen as well as an action. I apologise for the creepiness of the actions. You'll see what I mean when I played it, but it was a bit of a rush job. I apologise for the creepiness of it, but I hope it's helpful to do the actions during the chorus. So let's worship together.
Together, now we can begin. The youngest and the oldest, the only child, the twin. Some who're feeling left out, and some who're feeling in. Gathering in this place. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you. Gathering in this place. Here we are together, joining in this song. Even those who feel that their singing's not that strong. And as we sing, may every person know that they belong. Gathering in this place. It's good to see you here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here. Gathering in this place. Here we are together with our hopes and fears, bringing many feelings, our laughter and our tears. Now it's time for everyone to tell the world we're here. Gathering in this place. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you here.
Creepy, right? Anyway, we're going to have our gospel reading now. It comes from Matthew's gospel, very much following on from that song. So, alleluia, alleluia. I do not call you servants, but friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Alleluia. So, hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 40. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to start our talk for our children, well, for everyone, but particularly aimed at our children, with a song and a video clip. So kids, do make sure that you are gathered around the screen. I hope all of you will know this song and will be able to sing and particularly some of you dance to this good old classic song.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, just pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, chérie, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre. Why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest. Beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
Put it all in perfect taste that you can bear.
Come on and lift your glass. You've won your own free pass to be our guest. If you're stressed, it's fine dining, we suggest. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly, those good old days are gone. Oh. 10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting, needing exercise, a chance to use our skill. Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy, you walked in and oops, it's easy.
It's a guest, infant guest, makes a lot of loving nest. Wise been born and thank the Lord, I bet the napkin's freshly pressed. With dessert, she'll want tea, and my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do this, I'll shoo in, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing. I'll get warm, I've been hot. Heaven's sakes, is that a spot? Clean it up, we want the company impressed. We've got a lot to do. Is it one love or two? For you, our guest.
She's our guest.
She's our guest.
Our guest will be your guest.
Over here, line up now.
The music's sweeter than anybody here, and we're obsessed. It's your guest.
You'll rock your data, but for now let's eat up. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Please be our guest.
That's Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast, a good classic cartoon available on Disney Plus if you've got it or if you'd like to get it. It's a great song about welcome. And I wonder when you watched that, whether or not you identified or you saw yourself in a particular place. Were you Belle as the guest? Were you, I want to say garçon, but it's not, is it? Is it garçon? I don't know. It's been ages since I've watched the film. The candlestick. You may be Mr. Cogsworth, the clock. Where we place ourselves when we talk about welcome really does say something about ourselves. And I wonder, when has it been that you felt most welcomed in a place? Maybe you want to talk to the people that you're with. What was the time when you kind of went, oh, I felt so welcome in that place? So have a brief conversation with each other about that. What was it that the host, the person who welcomed you, did or didn't do? How is it that you feel welcome best? Maybe you want to share that. Lumiere, thank you, Simon. It's Lumiere. Thank you very much for that information. You might want to just share some of those comments on the comments section, just so we can have a wider conversation about how we are made to feel welcome and when have been the good times of being made to feel welcome. I want to talk about two of my friends. I have got more than that, but only just. But I have got two friends, and they have a very different style of making me feel welcome in their homes. One is called Russell, and the other is called Andy. Russell pulls out all the stops. He makes me feel like a prince. He does everything. He waits on me hand and foot. He brings out the best china cups, and he is, you know, typical English butler, and makes me feel so, so special. I sit down and he gets me anything that I want. He asks if I can, you know, have my pillows fluffed and all that sort of stuff. He really goes all stops, all out for me to make me feel special in his home, like a special guest, a VIP. On the opposite side is my friend Andy, that when I turn up at his house, he welcomes me in, he asks if I've had a good journey, and then he basically just leaves me to it. He says, and he genuinely means it, make yourself at home. This is your house. Just do whatever. So I go up, I'll get stuff into my bedroom, I'll go downstairs, make myself a cup of tea, might ask them if I'm making it, ask them if they want a cup of tea. I know where everything is, and when asked if I don't know where everything is, he just says, oh, it's in the larder, help yourself, you know, whatever, just do whatever. And these are two very different ways of making people feel welcome. I have to be honest, my personal preference is to be welcomed like Andy did, just to make me feel like I live here. This is my house. I don't have to feel like I have to be, you know, all prim and proper, and, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm treading on people's toes. I just want to be free to do whatever, to be who I need to be. And not to have weird sort of my friends doing things for me like I'm an invalid or something. But that's me personally, whereas other people really like that. That's what it is. I remember when Russell once came round to my house, he was sat on the sofa and we were having a nice chat, and he just suddenly turned to me and went, is that the kettle going? And I said, no, do you want it to? And he said, oh, yes, please, milk, one sugar, please. And I went, well, you know, help yourself, you know where the kettle is. And he went, oh, that's not very hospitable of you. That's not very welcoming of you. I wonder what it is that makes us feel welcome. And sometimes we have different ways of expressing that welcome. Sometimes we want to pull out all the stops and put on a big fancy dinner. Others just want to ring up for a takeaway and just go, well, this is what we're going to have, so you can come and pop in whenever you like, and that will also make you feel welcome. Welcome is a really difficult thing to know how to do and to do well. So in our passage, I'm going to read it again shortly, the word welcome comes up quite a lot. Every time the word welcome comes up, I want you to just to say yay, okay? And I'll show you how often it comes up. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. Welcome, 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 welcome. Often we demand welcome. We want to feel welcomed. We want to feel part of the family. But do we also want to kind of feel like a VIP guest and a special, you know, do something really special to make people feel welcome? There's times and places for all of it, and we have to watch for the other person. I think if my friend Russell came round to my house, I would welcome him like Russell would want to be welcomed. And when Andy comes over, I would welcome him like Andy wants to be welcomed. It is about listening to the other person. It is about paying attention. It's about changing something that we might seem absolutely natural to do. But actually, they need to feel welcome. So we need to do that extra step to make people feel to feel welcomed. And sometimes when we make the offer of welcome and it's not really received, that can be quite difficult as well. It's usually just because we have different ways of welcoming. The great thing is that God welcomes us around his table, and he welcomes us in unique ways because he knows us. He knows how it is that we want to feel welcomed. Sometimes his people, that's you and me, don't express that in a perfect way. But that doesn't mean that God does not welcome us. That wherever we go, into God's churches, his buildings and his worship, he welcomes us as a guest. But we also are asked to welcome him. We welcome his presence here. He is both guest and host. And we also become host and guest. There's this sense in which we all serve one another, and it becomes a bit blurred as to who is meant to be welcoming who. Well, the reality is we all welcome all of us as if we're welcoming Christ and as if we are Christ welcoming others. That's a really complicated thing, and it takes a lot of effort and focus on us. We have to listen very carefully to what other people want and what God wants us to do. So, here's the task for today. I want you, children particularly, to find a way of making the rest of the people in your household to feel welcome. Now, that may seem weird because it's their house as well, but if we are all going to welcome each other as hosts and guests, then we must start with ourselves. We'll take the servant role first and foremost, and we'll be Lumiere, as Simon has quite helpfully pointed out, and we'll be the Lumiere, we'll be the... But then also, by offering that welcome to them, the others will welcome us also. So find a way that you would like to be welcomed, okay, and go and get it all ready, and then later on in our service, I want to see how you want to welcome us, okay? You might want to video it, you might want to take a photo of it, however you want to show a welcome, how you would welcome all of us into your home, and how you'd like to be welcomed, then do show that. So go off and do that, all of you. The rest of us, those who are going to stay put for our slightly more adult section, I've got another video to show you. This video is a poem that I discovered quite a few years ago now. It's quite pointed. Being a poem, it's quite short and punchy. But I hope this will lead us into our confession, because if we're really honest, none of us are perfect at welcoming others, and there are always reasons why we shouldn't or we couldn't welcome such and such a person, because they're not actually coming in the prophet's name, or they're not, you know, they're not really a part of Christ. They're not really exhibiting Christ-like qualities. So therefore, I'm not really going to welcome them like Christ. And we all have these prejudices and these darknesses within us. And so I hope this poem will lead us into a reflection and into confession. So this is called The Cold Within.
Six humans trapped by happenstance in bleak and bitter cold. Each possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back, for of the faces round the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church, and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this fallen group did naught except for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hand was proof of human sin. They did not die from the cold without. They died from the cold within.
Thought it was powerful. It should make us all feel very uncomfortable. And the hope lead us into a confession. Those times when we've held on to our piece of wood instead of offering it for the good of others, even though the others have hurt us and damaged us in many ways. We're going to turn to our confession. It will be on our service sheet. So let's just be quiet for a moment. Bring all those feelings that we have and offer them to God and ask for his forgiveness on all of us. Loving God, forgive us when we have not welcomed others. Loving God, forgive us for the parts of our world where your name is not welcome. Heal us and heal our world and welcome all people into your loving arms. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all evil. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to have our second reading now from Acts of the Apostles. We continue on from last week. If you remember, Paul has turned up in Jerusalem and the Jerusalem church have said that everyone's a bit upset with him and kind of don't want him to rock the boat or make any divisions. So would he mind just sort of compromising his integrity and, you know, being like a Jew and doing ritual cleaning and all that sort of stuff, which Paul agrees to do. And so we pick up Acts chapter 21, starting at the verse 27. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews of Asia who had seen him in the temple stirred up the whole crowd. They seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against our people, our law, and this place. More than that, he has actually brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was aroused, and the people rushed together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. We're going to now hear from Sarah Clayton from, I believe it's the Hayes' Garden. Lovely weather. Remember when it was lovely weather. So, Sarah, thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I'm getting used to this now because this is take four. This morning's sermon. I remember when I first got this calling from Jesus and I had this odd feeling of something inviting me to some, you know, to a new life, you know, Jesus wanting me to accept him. But there were quite a few things that didn't make sense with what I already knew. So I went for a coffee with my mate Hazza, and he said to me, look, forget what you think you know. Forget what you think you know, which isn't easy, but they're wise words. How many people are stuck in what their culture or their traditions have told them? What their parents or schools have told them? Even what their religious elders have told them? You know, it's not always the truth. So I needed to forget what I thought I already knew and be born again and brought to the fullness of life through Christ. And it was that mustard seed of faith that took hold of me, and I accepted that invitation to a new life. I wasn't born with faith, and I was told a lot of stuff about God that just didn't make any sense, and probably because it wasn't true. Because the truth is found in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's like back in the day, there were like Jews that had come to Jesus, and they'd say, what do we need to do to get right before God? What do we need to do to be saved? And Jesus would say to them, just believe. Believe in me. Just have faith. So in today's reading, the Jews that are accusing Paul have been blinded by what they think they know to be the truth. And Paul's not necessarily saying to them that they're wrong. He just wants them to look at things in a more meaningful, deeper way, the way of Jesus. And he shares this absolute truth of Jesus without fear. He's not going to compromise on the truth. But this will have been a dangerous time and place. There were probably about 2 million Jews, and I'm not even joking, probably about 2 million Jews in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And with that many people, it would have been really easy to whip up a mob. And Paul had already been advised by James, Jesus' brother, and the elders of the church to just take care. Just take care at the temple. Make sure that he's ceremonially clean and purified himself. And to be, you know, to the Jews, be like a Jew, as it were. So Paul goes to the temple and he gives notice of the date that him and his companions would like to offer their sacrifice. And this gives us some kind of an idea of how busy the temple will have been at that time. If 2 million people have been wanting to offer, make offerings, then the priests will have been proper busy. You know, it would have been a lot busier than the church barbecue. There'll have been pilgrims from all over the place that will have come to this large, grand building, you know, this great temple, the most sacred place on earth where heaven and earth meet. And we're told that there were a lot of Jews from Asia, probably Ephesus. Remember where they had that temple to the goddess Diana? And there was that silversmith Demetrius who started an uproar. And maybe it was him that stirred up the mob this time. Never know. But whoever it was accused Paul of speaking against the temple. And Paul just wanted them to recognise the truth. We are the temple. God does not live in temples made by man. God's presence is everywhere. We, the people of God, are the temple. And Jesus is the cornerstone. And it is through faith in him that we've been built together into a dwelling place for God. And God loves us so much. He doesn't want to be hidden in a building. He wants relationship with us. He wants us to receive that love and accept that invitation and be open to the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So back to accusations. And yet these accusations that they made to Paul, they're the same accusations that they made to Stephen, and he got stoned to death. So it's the same thing going round and around, because people get stuck in their own truths and there's no willingness to change or no willingness to hear anything else. So Paul's accused of going about speaking about against the Jewish nation and against the law of Moses. And you think, oh, Paul, all he wants to do is bring people the peace of Christ into their hearts. And he's not speaking against the Jewish nation. He's saying that God is for all nations. We're not saved by nationality. We're saved by grace through faith. And remember, Paul was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you look like, what your politics are, how much money you've got, what your job is. None of that matters. Because God is faithful in his love for us no matter what. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. He's slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. But it doesn't seem like the mob remembered this. You know, words from their own scripture. They don't think they remembered this when they were calling out, men of Israel, help us, help us. It's like, help them what? Help them kill him? You know, isn't that going against the law of Moses? The law that God gave Moses is central to the Jewish existence. The law gave the perfect standard, and it's a standard that we can never, ever reach. Every single one of us falls short. We all mess up, and we all need God's grace, God's amazing grace that can just transform the way that we live. And Paul will have been speaking of Jesus, who was born a Jew under the law, but who was sent to redeem us from the curse of the law. You know, that never being able to reach the perfect standard. Jesus gave us a new command, and it's in John 13:34. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So how do we fulfill that law? Well, we remember God's grace. Remember God's grace to us and extend it to others. Bear with one another. You know, when we disagree, bear with one another. Have humility. Remember that God loves us all. Let's not be like the mob and shout for help to oppress those that we don't agree with. But let's be like children of God. Let's be humble and be loving and help each other and encourage each other and pray for each other. So back to the reading. And the list of accusations just goes on. You know, it's already been said that he's been accused of, going against the nation, going against the temple, going against the law. And now they're saying, oh, and here he is bringing Greeks into the temple and he has defiled this holy place. But this hasn't actually been seen. This is just an assumption, a bit of an add-on, an assumption made in anger and fear. And it's made because they feel that their culture and traditions are threatened. So they're making, and those that are making this assumption, they're probably these Ephesians. So they probably recognise Trophimus. I love that name, Trophimus. So they probably recognised him because we know that he was an Ephesian. And they've probably seen him in their hometown. And now they see him with Paul. And they see Paul as a threat to their way of life. And they want everyone to see it. And they want everyone to go against Paul. And first of all, they say that, you know, he's speaking against their nation, their laws and their temple. And now he's bringing an unclean person into the temple. He's making it ritually unclean. And Jews were sticklers for ritual purity. Then again, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus knew all about ritual purity more than anyone. And it's often in the Gospels, it appeared that Jesus' teaching was going against the laws and that maybe he was trying to undermine the clean, unclean system. But that's not true. Jesus' teaching is perfectly in keeping with the principles of purity. Impurity flows from the inside to the outside. And that was the principle that was used by rabbis when they were wanting to support their reasoning, as it were, to what was clean and what was unclean. And we see Jesus using this principle when he's confronted by the Pharisees. So even if Paul had brought Trophimus, this unclean heathen, into the temple, would that make the temple unclean? Well, we already know that Jesus has taught us that we are the temple. So does bringing an unbeliever into church make the church unclean? But we are the church. Does it make us unclean? No, not if we're in Christ. Because if we're already filled on the inside with the Holy Spirit, then we're not unclean. Jesus overflowed with grace and compassion and love, healing those that were thought to be unclean, those on the margins of society, those like Trophimus, the Ephesian. Not even a Jew. And Jesus taught us that God loves us all, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, and there's nothing that you can do to make him love you more, no matter who you are, or where you're from, or what you've done. God's grace is sufficient to make you clean. You know, when I'd been coming to church at first, like years ago, And I'd sit at the back and think it was all a bit weird. And I'd hear the words, you know, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the words that were the word and I shall be healed. And for weeks, that's all I heard. I am not worthy to receive you. And then I remember the day that they weren't the words that I heard. The words that I heard were, you shall be healed. You shall be healed. And it was like God claimed me as his own and was saying to me, I can make you clean. You don't need to be the old you. I can bring you out and I can make you clean. And that's amazing grace. And then finally, in the reading, Paul gets angrily seized and he's dragged from the temple by this mob that are wanting him gone. And it says in the reading, the gates were immediately shut. And it's like, get out, gate shut, done, no more. Total rejection. There's no going back. And when you look at the result of rejection from God's word, it always results in chaos, in anger, in that lack of grace. But this is a real turning point in Paul's journey, because God uses this rejection to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. It's easier for the Gentiles to accept the gospel outside the constraints of that Jewish culture. In fact, we're told later, I think it's in Romans, Paul says it is through the Jews' transgressions that salvation has come to the Gentiles. It's okay to have doubts and questions. And when we do, maybe we need to think, should I forget all the stuff that I think I know and turn wholeheartedly to Christ for the answer? Turn to him with humility and remember that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is forever faithful. And he loves you no matter where you're from and no matter what you've done. And through Christ, we're redeemed. We're made whole. We're made clean. We are the temple, filled with the Holy Spirit, which flows out of us, showing his grace and his compassion, his forgiveness and his mercy and his love. So, let's obey that law of love. And let's accept God's invitation of love to a new life in Christ, where we can act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. We're going to worship now, and hopefully this song will lead us into some reflections on what Sarah said. It's a song which I think most of us will know. It may be new to some of you. It talks in the chorus about standing on a solid rock of Jesus, the way, the truth and the life, and that we are all only welcomed by the grace of God. We haven't put ourselves in any particular position to be welcomed as a particularly important person or not. We all come before Jesus in equal humility as well as in equal grace. So let's worship together using the words of this song, Nothing But Grace.
Nothing but grace, my only plea. All I am depends on your love and your mercy. Your cross, my shield, my faith, your blood. I will not be moved by the hurricane or flood. And I will stand with you on higher ground. On Christ the solid rock I will be found. And for eternity sing out my soul. Nothing but grace, your grace alone. Nothing but grace, the only hope. For this guilty heart you have paid each debt I owe. And though I fall, your name is near. In the raging storm, you will silence every fear. And I will stand with you on higher ground. Nothing but grace will lead me home. On that day I'll see I was never once alone. There I will sing.
Power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Today we think of Open Hands, one of our charities. We pray for the work that they do with destitute asylum seekers, giving them a home while they work to have their claims heard. We pray for the guests of Open Hands who are alone and away from all that is familiar and comforting. We pray that they will feel loved and welcomed in our country after they have fled their own. And we pray that the authorities will listen and judge with kindness, understanding how frightening life can be in other places. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember all refugees and those who have had to flee their homes because they are not safe anymore. We pray for those families who leave their homes because of domestic violence or because they are no longer able to be there. We think of those families who take chances crossing the sea in tiny boats because the boats are still safer than the shore. We pray that they may be welcomed and cared for when they land. Please comfort the homeless and the lonely and be with those who are frightened or lost. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the pandemic continues, we pray for all of those who are struggling in lockdown. We think of the guests of Open Hands who have been shut inside, away from their normal sources of support, and who are reliant on services that cannot meet the demand. We pray for all those whose homes are not safe places. We think of all whose loved ones are far away and who cannot see and touch them. We remember those people who have gone through life-changing events without the comfort of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for frontline staff and key workers, all of those who are working to ensure that we are all safe and able to continue with our lives. We think of the student doctors and nurses who finished their studies abruptly to go and work on the front line. And we pray for the researchers working on vaccine and treatment options, and we thank you for their skills and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We know that there are many who need healing and who need peace, and we pray for them. In a moment of silence, we bring our own prayers before you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We're now going to move into our time of sharing the Eucharist or celebrating the Eucharist. in a song I'm going to be doing a bit of shifting around. I'm hoping that technologically it'll all work, but that's not guaranteed. And we're doing it here. We're not doing it in church. That it was just too technologically difficult. So I apologise if this background is distracting for you eucharistically. As I usually say, this sign should be what Jesus says to you. So it's perfectly fine. The stags have no liturgical meaning whatsoever. We're going to move into our time of Eucharist. So straight after this song, we're going to be sharing the peace. So get ready with that. You might want to type in peace be with you, ready to press enter as soon as possible. After the Eucharist, we'll be sharing some photos and videos of what our kids have been doing, or what any of us have been doing, if you want to show us how you welcome people. So do send those in if you are able to. That would be great, and we'd love to see as many of those as possible. So let's step into our Eucharistic prayer together, using the song "What a Beautiful Name It Is."
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name.
So let me just sort out the camera. Hold on a sec. Slightly too.
There we go. That's better.
That's better. Good. Well, we're about to share the peace together. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, through Christ our Lord, who came and preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's offer one another in the comments section words of peace and welcome to each other as we are all welcomed around this table. Let's make sure that all feel welcome to join in the celebration of the Eucharist. So let's share the peace in the comments section for a few moments. Nice to see you all sharing peace. As we come and welcome one another around, we also welcome Christ present in bread and wine. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to descend upon these and make these so that they are for us the body and blood of Christ. During lockdown, hopefully not for very much longer, but we will all have to wait and see. We have been celebrating the Eucharist separately and distantly, and I've been celebrating it on behalf and receiving on behalf of the whole church. As I often have said, it is like the inoculation jab in the arm. It impacts the arm, it goes into the arm, but the whole body benefits from it. The same is true of this, the salvation power of the of Christ's death and resurrection. May it enter physically through me, but through our spiritual communion, we all benefit from it by God's Holy Spirit. So we're going to have that, and we're going to offer up together our sacrifice of praise, and we're going to pray that our spiritual communion will be strengthened as we pray this prayer together, and as I speak on behalf of the church, as I speak it out for us all. So pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. So we say together, may the Lord accept the sacrifice at my hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send your Holy Spirit on your people. Gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of Peter and all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and we shall be healed. Lord, we long for the day when we gather as one kingdom around your table, welcomed as equals, serving as equals. I pray that as I have received the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, my brothers and sisters across St. Peter's and indeed your whole church would receive afresh your spirit to strengthen and sustain them for their journey. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to pray the prayer after communion. Loving Father, we thank you that you welcome all and gathered us to feast at your table. Give us a joyful anticipation of your coming kingdom and that new world where the fullness of your peace will be revealed. Gather people from every race, language and way of life to share in the one eternal banquet of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. So, a few notices, then we're going to sing a song, then we're going to see some ways in which our young people would like to welcome others. So please do send those in if you haven't done so already. And then we'll head out into the world, ready to welcome all who come in the name of Christ. So, some notices. As I said at the beginning, there is movements afoot. We are having discussions within the PCC about the safest way, if it's possible, to resume public worship. This will not happen any earlier than the 19th of July. There are a number of reasons for that, but particularly just to give us a little bit of space and time to reflect on whether or not it's possible and therefore to enact a lot of things which need to happen in order to prepare the space and to prepare St. Peter's to welcome small numbers of people back. I want to stress at this point that even if we do resume public worship on the 19th of July or any later, it will not be as we had it before. It will be limited, restricted. There will be no singing because of the restrictions and the droplets being shared. There'll be no toys. There'll be no use of toilets. There'll be no leaflets or anything like that. You're all going to have to sit 2 meters apart. No one's going to be able to hug one another. All of those sorts of things. It will be a very, very simple service of just the Eucharist and a short homily from me. And that's it. That's all it will be. And there'll be no social time. There'll be no coffee time before or after. You'll have to queue outside. It's going to be very, very restricted. And so, therefore, we are also going to offer, as we have done throughout lockdown, online services in the morning. This will still be a sort of staple that will be where the worship happens, where the creative prayers happen, where the sermon happens. The homily will be very short, and because we're wanting to try and limit the time that we are together so that we're not spending more time and therefore more opportunity to infect one another. So I want to stress that right from the beginning. So if you are feeling uncomfortable about coming to public worship and you don't feel like you're being forced to, we will continue this service as we are doing now. This is perfectly reasonable, a way of doing it. And I will attempt, where possible, to do Eucharists at this Sunday morning service. But because of trying to be at church as well as here, the Eucharist will be celebrated in the church There will still be, of course, midweek Eucharists. So if you are worried about coming into church but would still like to celebrate the Eucharist, then the midweek service will continue. As well, we hope, again, this is just a proposal and the PCC have not decided this, so this is all ifs and buts. But if we open, we will also be opening, we hope, with private prayer. And that will also be on Wednesdays around the midweek Eucharist. So there will be some public worship on a Wednesday as well. So you don't all have to come on Sunday. You can come on Wednesday if possible during the day. Times and all of those sort of details are yet to be decided, again, by the PCC. So it's sort of watch this space. We are moving towards it. But we do not want anyone to feel like they are being pressured into stepping into public before they're ready, before they want to, before they feel safe. It is more important that you feel safe and comfortable, and we will provide for you opportunities to worship, however that is, whether that's here online, whether it's in the church on a Sunday or in church on a Wednesday. We will still be providing and opening up as best we can the safety to the safety of our congregation and our worshippers. I hope that is about as clear as mud. As I said, it's with the PCC, so we'll make a decision and I will communicate it clearly through daily prayer and indeed on our Sunday worship, giving you plenty of time, I hope, to make plans to come or not to come, however you feel that's most appropriate for you. So that's public and private prayer, moving forward in that. In July, I have two Sundays where I'm off. I hope you will not notice because I will pre-record sermons for both of those. And Simon will be leading us as he usually does in his wonderful way. These services will swap and change. So next week was meant to be a non-Eucharistic service, and then the following Sunday was going to be a Eucharistic service. But I'm away, and we're not being able to find someone to celebrate the Eucharist on our behalf online. So what we're going to do is we're just going to swap them. So next week we're also going to have a Eucharist. The following week will be non-Eucharistic before, we hope, coming back to public worship on the 19th. But again, as I said, that may not happen. We may still be online, in which case the 19th of July will be a Eucharist, either online or in the church. I hope that's really clear. If it's not, email me. I'm sure I'll clarify. I think that's it in terms of notices. Let's sing our final song, being led by our own worship team. This is Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my true one.
It's good to worship with our worship band. I'm hoping some people have sent in some things to see. Let me see if this is all set up as I would like it to be. It is brilliant. Let's zoom into this and see. This is from Maisie and or Abigail. So they've done a nice little welcome sign there. There we go. Now, I don't know if nice daddy is how they welcome people, to put a nice daddy in front of them, or if they think that their daddy's nice, but there we go. I think there is a pattern to it. There's nice Abby. Hugs. Hugs are always good in terms of welcoming people. Indeed. Nice to give hugs. Looking forward to that when we can do it safely. The government prescribes hugs. That would be good. I can't wait for the moment. sorry, let me just there we go. I can't wait for the moment that Boris Johnson stands up in front of the country and goes, "I now give you permission to hug people." Can you imagine the chaos that will happen on that day? But we look forward to it nonetheless. Hugs, brilliant. And there we go. Of course, we're going to have a nice dad. We're going to have a nice mummy as well. Is there any more? No, we haven't got it. Brilliant. Thank you to them, to the Arnotts. Thank you for that. This is from Ronan and Audrey. Let me just sort this out. Oh, hold on. All this computer stuff is very complicated. There we go. Sharing treats to welcome people. Brilliant. Thank you very much. What are their treats? Love hearts. Oh, do you know what? I'm really craving love hearts now. If there's a way in which you can get love hearts to me, that would be really good. Deliveries at the vicarage, that would be awesome. I'd love to have them. Yum, love hearts. Now, Audrey did send a video. Now, how do I do the video? Let's see if I can do that. Hold on, again. Please, please, please. Yes, I can get it. I can get it. Hold on.
Hi, Audrey.
Hold on. Okay, are we ready? Look, this is great technology, but there's no smooth way of doing it, I'm afraid. So, here we go.
Yeah?
How do you make people feel welcome at home?
Have a tea party with real sweeties.
And why does that make someone feel welcome?
Because the sweeties are nice. And you even have a tea party with everybody that's in your family except Daddy there.
But is he welcome when he's ready?
Yeah.
That's nice.
And we have lots of toys and a Barbie car in the kitchen.
You've got a Barbie car in the kitchen?
Yeah.
And if I wanted to play with it, would I be allowed to?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Audrey.
Great, thank you very much. I really love that Daddy's, possibly Daddy, when he's ready. But who decides when Daddy's ready? That's beautiful, Audrey and Ronan, thank you. I really thought you were having a barbecue in the kitchen, which sounds great and is a very St. Peter's thing to do. But it's a Barbie car. Now, here's a little insight into young Ned Lunn. When I was about 5, maybe 6, I went round to my cousin's house. They lived in Uckfield and I was in Tunbridge. And we went down and I was playing with them and they had a Barbie camper van for their Barbies. And I thought this was awesome. I really liked this Barbie camper van because it opened up and there was tables and you can seat the Barbie around and all that stuff. And so I started asking for a Barbie camper van. My older brother was absolutely horrified that his younger brother was asking for a pink Barbie camper van. This was preposterous thing to ask for. Anyway, I got it. To make him feel slightly better, I didn't want Barbies. I had no interest in Barbies. What I used the Barbie camper van for was my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to go on holiday. So my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figurines all sat round in a Barbie camper van. So anyway, that there you go, a little insight into my upbringing, blending together many things. Anyway, that was probably far too much information. We're going to conclude our service together, again using a blessing from to celebrate St. Peter's Day. So God, who has prepared for you a city with eternal foundations, bring you with Peter and Paul and all the saints to the eternal and triumphant joy of that city. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So go into the world in peace. Be of good courage, love without borders, share without fear, seek with passion and pray without ceasing. Go to love and serve the Lord. As family, we go to love, witness and grow for God's glory in our world. Have a good rest of your day and peace be with you.